Turn to Matthew chapter 2. One of the things I love about the Bible is that it is not afraid to give specific information to challenge history and to prove its validity and to show that it is the truth, regardless of what anyone else believes or thinks. The Bible is one of the most amazing literary pieces in the history of mankind. It's been translated in more languages than any other book, has been criticized more than any other writing, and it still stands.
That's right, man. That's right.
If you and I could have a history that the Bible has, we would be worth mentioning. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to show you some things today as we walk through Matthew chapter 2 that is amazing, to prove without a shadow of a doubt that there is no human on earth that should be able to argue of the validity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was not a fulfillment of prophecy and scripture, and that to the Jewish nation and the Jewish people and the Israelites, their Messiah has come. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
And the only reason you and I, along with anyone who considers themselves Jewish, will deny that Jesus Christ is who he said he was and is a historical, biblical person is simply because you refuse to believe or they don't want to see. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, you know my prayer is that you'll move me out of the way. That you will have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. For Father, there is no truth greater than your truth. And this is the truth. In Jesus' name we all say. Matthew chapter 2. I want to show you something. If you don't know a little history, as you read several of these verses, you cannot understand or appreciate the humor of God. As a matter of fact, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, look in the mirror when you get home. How he can take and make so many different faces and it still look like a face. Now, I got kids in the home. Now, they can draw some things. And you ask, what is that? Can I get a response to some of your parents? And they look at you like, what? You don't understand what this is? That's you. And some Sundays, many Sundays, after the service, young children will come up and they have drawn a picture for me. And many times than not, it is a picture of how they see me. It's a good thing I'm a man that's really confident in myself. Amen. Because there are some strange pictures of how the pastor look in their eyes. And I look at God and I see the magnificent wisdom and I don't want to say effort, because that is a human word. For there is no effort for what God does. But to see the effort that God displayed trying to prove to you and I he's worth trusting. It just blows my mind that he feels that we are worth this much information to believe. And when he gives us this much information, oftentimes we have the one response, well, I need more information. In Matthew chapter 2, there is enough information to deal with any skeptic anywhere at any time that the Lord Jesus Christ is who he said he is. It says, now, when Jesus was born, that is a statement of truth that you can take to the bank and put in history and compare in history. Was this really going on when Jesus was born in Bethlehem according to prophecy of that day? When Jesus was born, God is saying, try it. Test it. Check it out and see if what the Bible say was going on at that time is going on. When he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod. Now, God he don't just stop there. When he says, in the days of Herod, only thing we have to do is go and search history to see what was going on in the days of Herod. Herod the Great is who they are talking about here. Now, historians say and use that Herod, this Herod, was coming to the end of his day, was getting old, and they say that he died. It's recorded in history. That's many reasons, many avenues, many thoughts of why they picked this date. But you know what? We don't know all the reasons, but we know that history says that Herod the Great died in 4 A.D. Can anyone here tell me what was going on around that time that would make time change from B.C. to A.D.? Now, if it's somewhere around, now we're in the book of Matthew. Mm-hmm. Can I get a witness? So we have to watch out how we count, because in the book of Matthew it's from the Jewish perspective. Mm-hmm. Perspective. Some of the young people really appreciated that move because they understood. So it could be 3 B.C., the way the Jewish mind counts. So everything is in chapter 2 has to happen between A.D. and 3 to 4 A.D. Now that's narrowing history down, folks, to 4 years of how long scientists say the world has been going on. Scientists say it's been going on for millions of years, perhaps billions of years. Well, we believe as Christians it's only about 6,000 or 7,000 years. But even if it's 6,000 or 7,000 years that all this has been going on, to narrow down a situation to 4 years. If you want to prove something wrong, you can jump on that like white on rice, coal on ice, dots on dice, and drugs on Miami Vice. Amen. And the Bible just don't say it once, just to kind of throw his name in there to narrow it down. In this chapter alone, they use Herod's name a bunch of times to prove it is during this period. That earth timing, people's calendar changed from B.C. to A.D. Now, everybody knows B.C. Before
Christ.
Before
Christ.
Before Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Right.
It was called B.C. After he was born, it became A.D. A lot of people say A.D. means after death. Don't think so. It means anno domini. Are y'all impressed yet?
Stunned.
Just stunned?
Stunned.
Anno domini means year of our Lord. Now, come. Check this out. Now, check out all religions. Check out all beliefs. Check out all thought. All philosophy. All history. Everything is centered around B.C. and A.D.
Yes, sir.
It didn't say B.M. Before Mohammed. What you guys thought I was saying now, huh? I saw some of you sick-minded people out there. Yeah, no wonder you need to be in church. I don't know about you, but if I got to pick a belief, if I got to pick a religion, if I got to pick a philosophy and pick a thought, I want the best. And the best centers around the man who has all history divided. He died in the year somewhere around 4 A.D. in the year of our Lord. I got a question for everyone who divides history up. Lord or what? In the year of our Lord of who? I wonder if the Israelites, if they had an opportunity, they have tried to change it. They call it BCE, before the common era. But they still can't change. Now you guys look at me like, why is that so significant? I'm going to tell you why that's so significant. Why do you think God did not allow any other division of history take place in all of mankind? Herod the Great was reigning when time changed. I want to ask you a question. Rome, the great empire, was in control at that time. Why did they stop? Why did they not stop history from being divided by B.C. and A.D.? They were a world power. could have had B.C. mean before Caesar, during Caesar, and after Caesar. Are you beginning to think that there's something more involved with the division of time than just happenstance? Could God Almighty, the God of all universe, the God of all creation, dictate what he believes is the most important aspect of whatever happened in history? And you and I as believers have accepted God's emphasis of time. Verse 1, Herod is used. Verse 3, when Herod the king, Herod is used. Verse 7, then Herod is used. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, Herod is used. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod is used. Look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw, was used. My goodness, Herod's being used a lot. Look at 19. But when Herod was dead, good job, God. Verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the place of his father Herod. In one chapter, the Bible makes sure you know what the time is. Herod the Great is living in his reign. He only lived somewhere between 2 to 4 years after Christ was born. You can see the validity of what is happening, but even more, you got to move right on the other side of the name of Herod to see God's sense of humor. It says when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, classified as magi, classified as probably being Persian, maybe Medes, maybe someone with some history with Herod. Anybody know any history between the Magi or the Parthians and Herod the Great, the king of the Jews? There's a little history somewhere in the area of history around 39, 40, or 41 B.C. There was some fight going on about who was going to be king of the Jews. Now, you got to remember that Herod is not a true Israelite. He is considered a half-breed. And there was some wars going on. And Herod wanted to be, again, the leader of the Jews. And there was one group of people that Rome was having tremendous problems with conquering. And they were the Parthians, followers, people out of the era of Persia, the Medes. And they had magi, magicians that they would use to give and read the future of time. And they was probably the same type of people that had, over the years, had bumped heads with another Israelite, fellow by the name of Daniel. Anybody remember Daniel? The 70 weeks of Daniel? When Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he was given control over all of the magi, The people that tried to interpret the king's dream, Daniel was given head over all of them. So why not use history of the Jews to give an influence over an Israelite called Daniel? And then Daniel probably influenced all of the religious priests and leaders and magicians of his day with his prophecy. Thus, through many years of history, that prophecy was studied by the magi from that area of Persia. But it got to be really bad, folks, in around 39, 40, 41 B.C. because the Parthians was at war with Rome, and they came in to establish a new king in Jerusalem. And Herod, the bad boy who wanted to be king of the Jews, had to sprint out of Jerusalem. Ran El Skidido. Took his family, his wife, stuck them in Masada, south of Jerusalem, down by the Dead Sea. Left them there with an armed guard and ended up running to Rome. And when he was there, the Senate came together and they appointed Herod king of the Jews and sent him back with an army to rule. Now you got to keep this in mind. Some 40 years before Christ, they had tried to whip up on Herod and the Jews and establish their own king. And it failed. 40 years later, here comes the Magi again. And I want you to see something here, because I think it's something to the scriptures that if you don't pay close attention, you'll miss. Now, the last time Herod had a confrontation with the Magi, the Parthians, the Persians, those bad boys who hadn't had peace with Rome, and Rome had set up Herod to rule Jerusalem as king. Is there a little uptightness between Rome, Herod, and the Parthians and the Magi? There's a little what? Rift going on. That God miraculously, sovereignly, instrumented, allowed to happen, because what not set up your announcement that you're going to send a king and use the same people who tried to destroy the place 40 years earlier? Do you think that these magi, these kings, these prophets, these seers, these teachers who's rich, when they come to Jerusalem with a caravan, do you think they would not get everybody's attention? Because the first thing they're thinking is, uh-oh, they're back. You don't have to take my word for it. Look at the scripture. Watch the scripture. When they came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king, who had been ran out of town 40 years earlier by the same group of people who wanted to establish another king, heard that a new king that they want to support, they want to worship, they want to anoint, what kind of atmosphere do you think is being set up in Herod's house and in all of Jerusalem? Let me read the scripture. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Let's see if we can picture this, because the Bible is a tremendous history book. Amen. It is a tremendous truth teller. Here is Herod going into his heyday, wiped out most of the people that's going to take over for him, has Rome backing, Here comes the Magi. Do you think they are traveling by themselves if they are rich? If they're coming in a caravan, do you think they remember some of the history of being defeated by Rome and Herod? As they ride into Jerusalem on a caravan, some of your past enemy coming in force, do you think all of Jerusalem know? And do it because, oh, they're going to come in great pomp. And when they ride into Jerusalem, they go straight to the king and have an audience. Do you think everybody in Israel want to know, is it going to be another war? Or why are they here? Now, can you remember back the first time you heard about Christ? Can you remember the first time you was challenged with this truth that if you do not accept Jesus Christ, you are going to burn somewhere? Wait a minute, no. Talk to me. Talk to the pastor. Do you remember the fight that you went through trying to figure out, are you going to win this battle or not? Can you focus in on the stress that you went through in fighting, because every one of us fought the decision to become a Christian? Because it's too much against our nature to become a Christian. Do you remember that struggle of saying, who's going to win the war here? I want you to multiply what you're going through and reemphasize what Jerusalem must be going through when all of a sudden they hear that they're going to go back to the Davidic kingship, away from the Herodian kingship, who is led by Herod the Great of that day. There is turmoil in the middle of the city. Anytime Jesus walks into a situation, folks, there should be turmoil. And the turmoil is between doing right and doing wrong. How many of us as Christians will have a much easier life in making decisions if we didn't have to hold to God's standard? Question. How much? Now, I didn't say how good it would be. I said how easy it would be if we can make decisions based upon our desires and not what God has commanded. You're looking at me like I'm strange. I know I could be, but you're looking at me in a strange, different way. Let me see if I can make it personal. You mind if I make it personal? Are we that far over? Good night. I'm sorry. We got to close. Hey. Yeah, we do. We got to close. I'm sorry. Man, I just got too caught up. Plug it. Unplug it. I was going to make it personal, but I don't have time to make it personal. I got to close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much. Please forgive me for not looking at time, Lord. Oh, sorry. To the congregation, this is so bad. In your son's most holy, precious name, amen.